Hello, everyone. I am so sorry I am late. I was on another call and we were running late over there. And when I started this one, I forgot I had to log in, log back out, and to another account. And that one has the world's longest password involved. I think it's 32 characters or something. And half the time I mistype it. And I mistyped it three different times just to get on this call. So, this is the Queen's Club, which means that you can just raise your hand. This is for anyone that's lost over 25 pounds. You get to get coaching with me, and I'm going to start with Holly, but you do need to raise your hand if you want to get coached. Oh, my nose is so itchy today. This lady is definitely having allergies. All right, Holly, what are we coaching on?
I'm trying not to cry. Last year at Christmas, I lost my sister, and in January, I lost my mother. And
Okay.
I tell you this because I noticed after the holidays, I put on weight, and I knew it was because I was eating because I thought that the food would make me happy. And I just don't want to do that this year. I want to do better and level up. And right
Okay.
now, I feel like my brain is like freaking out because, especially with the sweets, that's what I feel like is like gets me or something.
Okay. So tell me this. So I think it's normal. Like when you lose your sister and your mother, to do anything and everything you can to feel better, to avoid that pain.
Right. Yeah. I
I
know,
mean,
but I want something else in a better way. Yeah.
well, what was the better way?
I guess that's what I'm wanting help with is to figure. I mean, I know, I guess taking deep breaths, I maybe a way to recognize. I guess I wish I would have recognized it sooner.
Yeah,
So,
but
and
this
stopped
is the
it.
thing. You're arguing with your past, like sitting around thinking, I just sure wish I hadn't have done all this stuff, doesn't change the past. You know what it changes? What you do in this moment. Like regretting that you ate when your mom and your sister passed away and that you were grieving and it was really hard for you won't do anything other than make now more miserable. So let me ask you this. Where are you in terms of your grief? Do you feel like you need to continue to eat?
I think I try to avoid it so much I don't even think about it. I think with the holidays coming, it's bringing it back up some.
And it's supposed to.
With that, I'm not sure. I guess I still am grieving.
You're probably going to grieve the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So I did a podcast. I think we only put it on the public podcast. Betsy, can you look and see? I think I was either I interviewed Krista or Krista interviewed me recently. Krista St. Germain, who is a grief specialist. And one of the things that she talked about that was so beautiful was there's no right or wrong way to grieve. Like books say one thing and all this other junk. She's like, everybody grieves differently, and we go through grief cycles. We never know when it's going to come back, but we all know that there are certain times of the year, especially where our grief will come back as strong as it was on day one. And that's very normal. And I just find some peace with that because what I don't want, it's almost like you're talking about your grief as if like none of this should be happening the way it is. Like I shouldn't be eating. I shouldn't be having grief come up like again. Like it just feels like it's all coming back. And so like when you say all that, what is the thought about that? What is your thought about I eat sometimes emotionally over this and my grief seems to be coming back up. What's your thought about that?
As far as the eating, I think probably shame.
And so what's the thought causing the shame?
I guess probably you're never going to lose the weight with eating like this. Well, and one of the thoughts I've noticed is that me trying to tell myself it makes me happy to eat, like especially the sweets. And it obviously it doesn't because maybe in the moment I feel it, but it doesn't because
Why
now
do you
I'm
want to be happy?
because I'm tired of feeling sad.
But you're not feeling sad. You know what you're feeling? Shame. You're trying to avoid things, trying to, your fear of grief. Like, I don't think you're actually allowing yourself to feel sad.
Probably not.
I mean, I want you to really think about this. You've lost your mom and your sister. What do you think would be the most healing emotion that you could have during this time?
I want to say comfort, somehow to comfort.
Okay, yeah. And I think that might be why you're eating, because you're seeking comfort because you miss them and you love them. And you're like, no, we can't be sad and we need to be happy. And your brain is like, I don't want to be happy. And you're like, no, we want to be happy. So I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat some sweets. And you're like, I'm still not happy. And your brain is like saying, Holly, I just want to be comforted. Like, so if we want to feel comforted, that's going to come from our mind. It's never coming from food. Food sometimes can distract us from our pain. It can disguise itself as comforting because it sometimes will trigger thoughts like everything's okay, or, at least we're not sad right now. And that sometimes can feel comforting. But I want you to think about this. What do you need to hear from you about your grief and the loss of your mother and your sister?
Probably that it's okay to be sad. I give myself that permission to feel those feelings.
And so to feel sad, what's that going to look like? Like when you think, all right, this is me feeling feelings. What is, if you had to describe it to me so I could get a really good visual, what would I see you experiencing and doing?
Well, a lot of times when I'm sad, I like to light candles and put like probably breakup songs on and just let the feelings of the music and just let myself cry and get it out.
Okay. Light candles, music, there'd be some crying. How often are you allowing yourself to do that?
Not often enough.
How many times do you think you need to do it, let's say in a week, that would be healing and comforting?
I'm gonna say start with once a week.
Just
And
once?
yeah, let me start there at least. Because I just, I don't know.
Because what? What were you fixing to say?
I think try to do that, to do it more than once. I don't know. It's unsettling with me.
Why? Why would it be unsettling to do it more than once a week?
Probably not giving myself again permission to do it more than that.
Well, yeah, you're not giving yourself permission, but that's because it's unsettling. But we need to figure out why it's unsettling. So I want you to think about it. You feel unsettled. So your do line becomes don't do comforting things. Eat. The result is I'm not comforted at all. I'm actually in shame. I'm actually in judgment.
Yeah.
So why is it unsettling for you to think, like, I want you to think about this. Once a week, it's okay to cry and do my candles and my music. Anything after that, why do we shudder at that? We think what? That means?
I'm trying to think of the words. I guess I've always taken care of other people. I'm not used to taking care of myself. And so it's a little unnerving yet, but I'm learning and I'm getting there. But it's
But why is it unnerving? If you take care of yourself in this way, even if you've always taken care of other people, you make it mean like it. I just want you to think the fact is Holly is going to cry, light candles, and listen to her music 7 days a week now, every day. You immediately, what does your brain start thinking? That's what?
Selfish.
Why is it selfish? Who's getting harmed while you do that?
Nobody.
So why is it selfish?
That's a good question. I guess maybe it's really not.
Okay, so we know it's not selfish, so let's do it again. Let's see what the next argument your brain wants to throw up. Holly's now going to light candles, play music, and cry every day. So that's 7 times a week now. Now what does your brain think? That's what?
My brain's trying to throw up a lot of old shitty.
That's okay. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear irrational. Let him fly. This is what coaching's all about. We want to hear old shitty. I don't want to hear you gaslight yourself. I want to hear old shitty. What's he saying?
Like, oh, she's so weak. She has to have it that many times a week. And why can't she handle her shit?
She's weak. You can't handle your shit. So here's a thought. What if it is weak?
True.
What if this is one of those times where you're just weak? I mean, don't you think when you've lost your mom and your sister and it's the holidays and you've been going through grief and you spent the entire year eating instead of grieving that you might feel weak right now, a little emotionally weak?
Yeah.
Weakness isn't always a bad thing.
I'm so used to being the strong one or strong. It's hard to let myself be that way.
Well, let's say this then. Let's say it's not a weakness. What if this is strength? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you know what's weak? Eating to be happy when you know that that is a losing proposition. It's like, I've spent a whole year trying, didn't work. I'm not going to cry and stuff because I think that's weak. The weakness is saying I'm so much of a wilted flower that I can't cry without shame. That's weak. I mean, if we're going to call a spade, here's the other thing. You can't handle it. Don't you think processing your emotion is actually handling it? You know what's not handling it? Cake.
Yeah.
Cake is not handling it. So, like, this is why I want to hear old shitty, because old shitty, she's wrong. The only thing old shitty is saying is, like, are we really going to stop eating cake? If it was a really good time this year, there wasn't a lot of crying involved. And you're like, no, there wasn't a lot of crying involved, but shit, I feel bad. I don't like not losing weight. I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to decide, which one do I want to not like the most? Do I want to not like that I've got to cry, light candles, and play my music more than I think I should? And sometimes my brain jumps to irrational thoughts like, this is a weakness. This is you not handling it. Or do I want to not like the aftermath of eating over it and still not feeling any better? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Holly, there's one way to feel better. Get to crying. I know it sounds crazy, but let me ask you this. the worst that's going to happen when you finish crying, like, well, tell me this, when you light candles, listen to your music and you finish crying, what's usually the aftermath of that?
Usually relaxing and going to bed.
Okay. So there is like nothing bad happening. But probably the worst that happens is you judge yourself.
True.
Like, oh, there you are one more time, not being able to handle it. But at least you got your emotions out. Now, when you decide like, oh no, we can't be weak, we shouldn't be sad, where's my cake? And we eat. Now, what is the aftermath of that?
Guilt and shame.
Guilt, shame, weight gain.
Yeah.
Another day where grief's going to come back because it's like, excuse me, did you forget I'm here? It's a relentless salesperson. It will knock on your door all day, every day. I just want you to see, like, the worst that happens when you cry and stuff is you judge yourself. When you eat, you judge yourself. And on top of that, you don't feel any better. You gain weight and you don't get your dreams.
And I'm not letting that not happen this time. So we're going to get to crying.
I would. And I'm just going to tell you, Holly, my granny died 20 years ago. Say Logan is 21, 19 years ago. And I don't think there's a week that goes by that I don't cry for her. My grandmother all but raised me. And sometimes I just take a shower and cry my eyes out. And I get out of the shower and blow my hair out. Like,
yeah.
We miss people for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the human condition. And, you know, like, hell, I even grieve Chris right now. He's not even gone. Sometimes I get choked up. We watch a show and, like, somebody will lose someone. Next thing I know, all I'm thinking about is there's going to be this day. He's going to be gone. How am I going to handle myself? I'm just be like, well, it's probably going to be a fuck ton of crying for sure. I want you to normalize grief because I feel like you have a definition of it, that there's something wrong with it. Like, it shouldn't be here. So next week, Kathy is doing a call on Wednesday. She's going to teach the three things, and she's going to also do coaching the next day. I highly recommend you listen to it. And then Betsy, I don't know if you found it in the chat, but if you can make sure that we post in this chat any podcasts that I've done on the public side on grief or any calls we've done in the membership, let's just kind of come up with a few, because there's a lot of us who are going through that.
Right. I will be checking it out.
Okay. So how many times are you going to allow yourself to cry then this week? I don't think you have to do 7, but I wanted to give you a number that really made you, like, let your old shitties come up. The whole point was to not say 7's the number, but it's to show you, like, you said once, and it sounds like if, here's what I would say. If you're eating more than once a week, you need to be doing this more than once a week.
Okay.
Every time you're wanting to eat over it is a signal of, like, this is probably a moment I should be scheduling some of that crying.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Y'all have seen these cats all day. Now the other one's in here. He's playing with a little cranberry that he's pulled off the tree. That's Nacho. Loco is the other one. I don't think she's sleeping on the couch. She was the one who was playing with a catnip fish earlier today and pulling my curtains down on the last call. Why I got kittens, I'll never know. I should have got grown-ass cats that are lazy. Like, y'all need to get to grown-ass woman, grown-ass man and grown-ass woman stage. All right, Darlene. I did not give her catnip. That my sister-in-law did this, and like now I'm gonna have to throw away her little fishy. It's the only catnip toy we got. And she and the other one doesn't even get off on the catnip. Darlene, you ready? Sue says, same here with a puppy, questioning my life decisions. Hey, Darlene, let's get you unmuted. There you go. What are we coaching on?
Hello.
Hey.
This has been my goal since I've been in OBS to talk to you.
All right.
I'm so honored. Right.
Goal achieved.
I have been in OBS. I started bootstrapping probably almost a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I immediately lost 25 pounds. I lost so far 40 in OBS. And I have lost 80 pounds in my life. I've lost 20 pounds multiple times.
Yeah.
And the reason I was like, I'm going to join because I wanted to maintain.
Okay.
And whew, I'm so excited to talk to you. So I am doing fabulous.
Yeah, you are.
I feel awesome. And we are full-time RVers and travel in an RV.
Okay.
So I have a million things I'd like to talk to you about, but to narrow it down, one, I have issues with my husband. I just heard now he's outside, so never know if he'll come in. So I'm going to go to the other one.
Okay.
So I started in OBS, like I said, bootstrapping, and it was amazing. Like, I just couldn't believe it. Planning, I love planning. People, I love to plan. And it just makes my whole day easier. Anyway, so I felt like I just had my mind quieted. Immediately within the first couple months, I just noticed I just felt calm, my mind quieted, and I got closer and closer to my goal. And I haven't been to my goal for probably close to 30 years, if ever. Okay. I've always been heavy. My mother's always been heavy. She's gone now. So it just feels like now that I'm so close to my goal, actually 2.6 pounds, I have this magical number I'd like to get to. Just because it sounds cool, I guess. It's no real rhyme or reason, but... And then I love what you said a long time ago. I'm going to pick a goal range of 10 pounds. And then I heard you say one time, you have to love every single number on that.
You really scale. Do. You can't be sitting there, especially your goal range, thinking one end's better than the other. It's like, no, this is the range. And, you know, this is the range I live in. And I have... You know, I'm in it for different reasons, you know?
Right. So I have my numbers here, every single number. Okay. So now I love them all.
Okay.
And like I said, 2.6 pounds. So I've noticed since I'm so close to my goal, and I've been maintaining this for probably 5-6 months, maybe.
Okay.
You know, fluctuating here and there. I went up 3/4 of a pound in a week. Following week, I went up 3/4 of a pound again. I haven't done that forever. And then, like, what's going on? So I looked at my tracker. So I realized that I was just eating, like, little extras that I really didn't need. So anyway, I stopped that, immediately lost.
Okay.
And I went down 2 consecutive days. But now I just noticed my mind is thinking about food way more than I was. And I don't know if it's – I was, like, trying to – coach myself, like, am I going to get coached today or not?
So, why do you think your mind is suddenly thinking about food more?
I think I'm just thinking about it so much that I think it's just because when I do eat, I really enjoy it.
You need to learn.
I think when I do eat, I really enjoy it.
Oh, you really enjoy it.
So
okay.
I think I'm just looking forward to it. So okay. I'm thinking about it. And of course, I know what I'm going to have. I even put in my planner, like, if he's going to eat something different than I'm going to have, I write that down. So I don't know.
Well, if you're enjoying it, I don't think that, why is it a problem to think about food if you're just thinking about it in an enjoyable way? I don't, because I think about food almost all day long too, because I like like right now I'm really thinking about dinner because we're going to Aunt JJ's after this for Thanksgiving. And I've been thinking about it all day. So.
Well, I was with you earlier today and you talked about traditions, and that's the other thing. Our traditions are so changing now, everything's different, and I'm like, your whole life, your traditions change. I'm like, wow, that's amazing and true. So,
but why is it a problem for your brain to be thinking about food? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I guess I don't want to.
Why?
I'd rather apply my mind. I don't know. I guess because, well, my biggest thing for this was because I wanted to maintain. I didn't want to lose and then gain again. So
but that doesn't have anything to do with how much you think about food.
No, but that's why I joined. And I feel like, why was my brain quiet then when I first started? And now,
but that's because you're getting close to your goal. I think the only thing that's happening, and this always happens, is that when, if you're now thinking about that 2.6 and really wanting to get your 2.6, it makes sense that your brain's like, okay, we should think about food more because that's the pathway to get to 2.6. It's like, if I want to go on vacation and I really want to go on vacation and I really want to get there, I'm probably going to be thinking a lot about vacation and how to get there and what I need to do and all that kind of stuff until I get there.
Right. Well, my whole life I feel like is a vacation in a different way because we're traveling in the RV and we spent 2 weeks in the Keys, and that's where I did the journaling camp, which I'm trying to start journaling, which I've never done. That's one thing I felt like it was so critical that I wanted to start doing. So I've done it a little bit, but when I picked up the journal planner after we left the Keys and the camp was over and I went to journal and I picked it up, the one that's like, you just kind of fill it out. I picked it up and I looked at it and I like got all teary eyed and like was about to go full on crying. So I'm like, nope, not the time. So I just feel like there's stuff from my past that I'm trying to sort out. So there's a lot going on, I guess, in my brain, and I'm trying to figure out where I need to.
So here's what I think then. I think I've just figured out what's happening. Your brain is wanting to obsess or overthink food a little bit because it knows, like, you have past work to do. We talked about this at camp a little bit, but you know how, like, your brain likes to chew on a comment, like on a problem it's used to chewing on. It's like, oh, let's make this whole food thing a problem. Let's think a lot about food because you know what I don't want to think about is the past and dealing with my husband and all this other, and I don't want to get that journal out. I mean, the journal triggered tears. That means you got some shit that your brain is like, I really want to work on this. And you're like, no, let's think about food.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there because I wasn't ready to go on full on crying like the last caller. And, you know, there's stuff there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure where to start. And I know I don't remember.
Most of that journal's positive. It's just not a bunch of bullshit. Like, it's a lot of positivity in there.
I felt like the beginning just went hard. And I was just like, well, maybe I'll just open it up to the middle pages. And like you said, and I'm just starting the middle. So
yeah, I would just like literally, if you want to start with the easy stuff, flip through the pages, find things that are easy to get you into it. But you could also just get out a blank piece of paper and write down things I'm not ready to work on yet and things I do want to work on.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
So just save the things that you're not really emotionally ready for yet.
Yeah, there is. And Well, I don't even feel like I could talk about it because I wouldn't even be able to keep talking to you if I went there. But then I don't feel like that was stuff that was weight issue. I feel like I moved past it, but it's still back there. And
well, sometimes what we do is for all of you, we always think we move past things.
Yeah,
things doesn't mean you never think about it again.
Right.
Moving past things means this doesn't derail me every day, or this doesn't alter how I show up in my life. Like, a good example, my suicide attempt. I have moved past that in my life, but that doesn't mean that I don't still think about it. Sometimes, like, I'm just like sad that I was that sad at one point in my life. I don't sometimes remember what was leading up to it and get anxious about it. It doesn't mean that sometimes when I'm feeling sad or depressed that I don't wonder, you know, like, you know, do you need to talk to someone, that kind of thing. I'm past it because my day-to-day life is what I decide. It's just like my ex-husband that I married, you know, right after that suicide attempt. I'm way past that marriage. We were divorced before I was even 21. I got married at 10 days after I turned 18. I was divorced before I was 21. I'm very past him, but that doesn't mean sometimes I don't think about it. It doesn't mean sometimes I don't wonder where is he at? Sometimes I wonder what the fuck was I even thinking? I just like today, my current marriage isn't influenced by that marriage. Now, if I wasn't past it, what would be happening is I would constantly, because my ex cheated on me, like for real, a lot. He also stole a lot of money from me and stuff. He was a real character, y'all. Just an amazing dude.
I heard you talk about him many times.
Yeah, he's pretty much douche. But like if I wasn't past it, then I would be in this current marriage, always on guard, watching Chris to see if he was going to cheat on me. I would be like checking the money all the time because Philip stole from me, you know, stuff like that. That would be not being past it. But for all of you, moving past things doesn't mean that you don't think about them and sometimes feel bad. It's really more about you're stuck in something when it's altering your decision-making today. It's altering your life today. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what you can be thinking about. Like when you like, cause I can tell that whatever it is that you want to work on is emotional for you. It's just like, maybe a first thing is to say like, maybe I am past it. I'm just still feeling or processing some of the emotion of it.
Well, I don't think I even thought about it until I got the journaling stuff. And that's like, you know, what comes up in your past that, and then, you know, this one thing in particular popped into my head, but I had a lot of very interesting childhood and found out things that my mother, I found out I had a sister. Mm-hmm. I had a sister that she didn't raise, my grandparents raised. But after she passed away, the sister I did know about, which we had no relationship, she did a DNA test, found out she had another half sibling. So we have another half sister that none of us ever knew about, that my mother had another child that we just didn't know about. And
yeah.
So I mean, that wasn't the other thing, but it's like, I met her, she's lovely. So I'm like, if I wasn't so, you know, mentally stable, it's like, that could really throw you for a loop. Yeah. But my mother did a lot of things that I just will never know why. She went, my biggest thing I think about, which I haven't thought about it for a long time, until I started doing the journaling camp, was she wanted me to do something that it would have changed my life if I would have done it. And I almost did it. Like I was there, I was about to do it. And I feel God intervened because I was stopped so many times and just didn't do it. And so anyway, I didn't do it. And I'm so thankful. She wanted me to get rid of my now husband. We've been together 45 years and he is amazing and wonderful and fabulous. But mm-hmm. now that we're living in 43 foot, I'm having some issues more than he is, but I just need alone time that I don't get. So that's the other thing that I think about a lot, but there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. But I think you're doing fine though. I think for when you talked about the obsession about food, like why is my brain bringing all this up? I think it's because your brain has been like I always say, like once you kind of open the door to journaling and you're thinking and investigating things, you can't unsee it anymore.
Yes.
Like it's going to be there. And so our brain tries to unsee it by, well, let's obsess about food or let's, you know, think about this or whatever. I don't hear anything, honestly, darling, that you have said that gives me an ounce of concern for you. I think you will nail this 2.6 pounds. I think that you are right on track in terms of your brain wanted to give you a distraction because it has this idea that you're going to probably and I don't know if this is the exact words, but I'm just going to guess at it. It has an idea. If I journal, this is going to be painful or bring things up, or it's going to make me sad, or just think about what, like when I journal on these things, that means I'm going to experience this. It's going to bring this up. Whatever that is the reason why you're wanting to distract from it. And so what I always tell people is find that reason and then just say like, okay, is that even true? Because it's just like our last person who said, if I cry and light my candles and listen to music, well, that's selfish. And then when I pressed her on, well, how is that selfish? She's like, well, it's not really selfish. It's like, sometimes what our brains does is it makes these conclusions about things that are irrational, that aren't even based in truth. They'll feel true until you question it. And then when you see that, it's like, oh, this is just my brain's attempt to get me to not do something that it perceives as possibly dangerous, painful, sad, or whatever. Okay?
Yes. Yeah, I don't like to go into the ugly cry because then I have a headache the rest of the day and my eyes are all swollen and that's why I hate it. But you know, I just feel like I wanted to try to figure out what I need to do to be able to maintain this and just to keep going.
I think you already know how to maintain. You've already been doing that. You said for 5 or 6 months, you've been right here. The second that you had those two blips on the scale, you looked at your data, figured it out, cut that shit out. That went back down. That is not your problem. Like you need to tell your brain, like we don't have a maintenance problem at all.
I've never done that.
I have a doubting myself problem right now, but I don't have a maintenance problem.
That's awesome to hear because it was always my problem before. I actually ran a nonprofit weight loss group for many years. And now I love to do no BS PR. And I've actually got someone to sign up in the grocery store one time. A total stranger. She asked me if there's a code or something. I'm like, no. And then I think I did say something to ask coaches. And then now there is. So that's awesome. So,
yep. There you go. All right. So well, thank you. Enjoy the RVing. Get you some alone time.
Yeah, I figure that's a whole other topic that I'd like to talk to Julie about.
Yeah, talk to Julie. So, take it to Ask Coaches. Yeah. You can tell them, like, hey, can you give this to Julie? They'll give it right to Julie.
And Kathy. I started listening to your podcast when you and Kathy. Oh, I love the two of you. And I would walk and just listen to the free podcasts. And that's what got me hooked. And I was just like, fabulous.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye, y'all. And hi, accountability lady. Thanks. Bye, Corinne.
Bye. Michelle. Y'all, I think I've been telling y'all, but I had a cool peel laser last Friday. My skin is still, I keep telling Chris I'm his reptile. I'm like, do you want to just feel your little reptile? I keep telling him I'm his pet reptile, but I still am like scaly right through here. That's why I keep scratching myself like a maniac. All right, Michelle, what are we coaching on?
Well, right now I'm kind of going to be in two different worlds. I'm planning on moving to Santa Barbara to help my mom and stay in one of the apartments complexes where she lives. And she's 93. And she's not ready to give up her independence. And it's funny that, God, it just came up to me, her independence, but now I'm thinking about, am I giving up my independence? Because I live in Maui and my husband is okay that I'm going to be in Santa Barbara weeks at a time, because I just came back from being there weeks at a time. But she's not willing to give up her independence yet, but I think she still needs help. And I asked her permission if it was okay if I stayed there or in another place and came and made sure things were going okay. And she was fine with that.
Okay.
But now reality is I applied for a studio and all of a sudden all this anxiety came up.
What's the anxiety about?
This is really happening. I'm going to be living two lives, you know? And,
but why is that anxiety driven?
I don't know what I'm going to be doing. There's 1,000 things I can do in both places. I grew up in Santa Barbara and I It's not like I'm being dropped in the desert, but it's just, I don't know. I've never, I live my life here, not, I'm retired. I paddle canoe. I do all my things here over here. And I've been going back and forth and helping my mom. And I know she appreciates it. I enjoy doing it actually. And I guess it's maybe getting excited in a way. Maybe that scares me of getting excited about being back in Santa Barbara again, which
Why does it
I'm
excite, like, why is it scary to be excited about going?
because oh, okay, now I hear my mom's voice as you're just gonna go out and have fun, is her
Well, it sounds
thing.
like your mom probably wants you to do that instead of like being up her butt because she wants to be independent.
No, she, you got to do your work first before you can go have fun is her big thing. And
Your work first?
my work first, like when I was
Okay.
packing to come back home, I had halfway packed and stuff, and then I was going to go out with my friends and go do stuff, but my brothers were there taking care of my mom, which was fine. I mean, she's not an invalid. She definitely gets out and about and does things. And then they go, oh no, Michelle's just gonna go out and have fun. And I'm going like, yeah,
Why do
that's
they
right, I'm
care
gonna
if
go
they
out and
think
have
that?
fun.
I guess my
Oh,
question
he
is like,
doesn't care. My brothers don't care.
well, but your
My mom
mom,
does.
like, why do you care if your mom, like, let's say you're going to Santa Barbara. And you are going to have some fun, and you know your mom is going to not like it. Why do you care?
I don't know. I guess I've put a pressure on myself to, I don't know. I'm 70 years old. My gosh, I shouldn't care about what my mom thinks. And,
But you
but I
do, so let's
do.
figure out
I do.
why.
But it's just, I guess maybe it's the jabs, because lately in this part of her life, she's actually told me to go out and have fun. And I'm going like, ooh, where's this mom come from?
So, like, what is so? What's let's just back the truck up for a moment. What's the real
Okay.
problem here? Because the problem isn't that you're going to have fun. Because at one point you're like, no, my mom says I got to get my work done first, and then you tell me like, well, my mom actually did tell me I should go out and have some fun.
Well, it's like she does this flip, So,
Well, yeah,
what I
she's
thought,
93. What the fuck do you expect?
I don't know. I've never been 93, either has
Well, let's
she, so
just
I don't
guess what
know.
a 93-year-old woman who's fearing that she's losing her independence and that her children have to care for her, is she supposed to be like, I'm gonna be fresh as a daisy every day for y'all, in a good mood, loving my life? Or is she like probably gonna be like what, hot and cold, like one minute fearing she's losing her independence and the next minute trying to push you out the door to prove she's not?
Well, what I think to make it an even keel is to actually sit down with her and say, okay, how about in the morning I come and spend time with you, see what you need to do, get things together. If you want to do something for today, it's fine. And
All right.
after that's done, then I'll be on my own,
I love
And
it. So why are we not like that? Sounds amazing. I think that's a great idea.
well, that's what I just thought about right now
All
is
right. You know
that
why you thought about
making a
it?
plan.
You know why you thought about it? Because you're talking through what you're afraid of. And when we talk through what we're afraid of, usually what happens is we get really clear on what we want to do so that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because it sounds like
That
to
was
me, like, let me retell your story to you through my
okay.
lens, which, my lens is always better than y'all's. Which is, you're a great daughter who is now going to get to live two lives that she's picked. She wants to take care of her mother. There's a part of her that worries that she won't have all the independence that she wants, but at the end of the day, she wants to be there for her mom, even when her mom is afraid of losing her independence and stuff. You're working through how you can have fun there and where you can take care of business. You've got a supportive husband. You'll have a life back in Maui that's great too. And you're like every daughter. Sometimes you're all worried about what your mama thinks. We don't outgrow that just because we're 70. We don't quit worrying about what my mother's over at my brother's house right now. I'm all worried what she thinks because I keep running late today. And I'm 49, so I don't think we outgrow this.
Oh my goodness.
And I also think that we just want to kind of think about this through mom's perspective a little, because it sounds like you love her.
Mm-hmm. And she's done a lot for us forever. And, you know, and I've been independent living over here for forever too. So for us to come in and start, you know, we really don't boss her around. We just kind of gently nudge her in whatever direction that helps her. Yeah. You know, whether it's taking her out to have her hair done or getting her shots or whatever. But I've realized through this whole thing that I've stopped journaling. I haven't even started journaling. I took your course, and I haven't even picked up the pen to
That's
journal.
All right. You know what? The pen and paper will be there whenever you're ready. That's the, you know what journals never do? Get mad that you didn't give them attention.
I don't have to feed it.
They are like your best friend in the world. They're like, oh my God, I'm just so happy to see you every time. Like, so for you to like, there's no shame. You just haven't needed to yet. Hell, you're on this call. You're journaling out loud right now.
Well, that's what I've been doing, actually journaling in my head and stop and doing the 5-4-3-2-1 from Mel Robbins. And yeah. I just taking a step back and going, okay, you know, back off from that ledge. And I call it my anxiety ledge. And
you're doing mental journaling right now, which is fine.
Which is exactly what I'm doing. And I need to just take a deep breath. And
the only other thing I would just remind you of, and this is for all of you as your parents age, because my mother is aging. Of course, my mother is, well, I can't say that. My mother, I would give anything if she'd move back to Nashville. It'd be a lot easier to help her. And because my mom's on a cane right now because she's got fucking plantar fascia. My mother has gotten every joint she can replace except for her badass feet. Like she has the worst feet in the world. And now she's back to a cane because it's just for stability and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I are like, please move back to Nashville. Our biggest fear is she's going to get hurt down there. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to be moving her back when like we're going to need ambulances and stuff to do so. But I get it. Like I'm also like, as much as I want you here and I feel like it's an inconvenience and everything, I also understand it cannot be easy. Like I think about me. There's going to be a day somebody has to take care of Corinne. Corinne is not going to like it. I just know me. I'm going to be that asshole that you all come on here and complain about. I will be the asshole. But I just like to just have some compassion for, she probably is going to say things. Like, I just want you, because you mentioned this thing, like the jabs are coming. The jabs mm-hmm. are coming. I need you to go into it with like, yes, the jabs are coming. And I know why. She's nearing the end of her life. She's seeing her independence go away. It can't be easy to go from being the one who always took care of the kids to now the kids take care of you.
Right.
You know, like
she doesn't want to come and live with us. She'd rather live in an assisted living home than come and live with us. She doesn't want to come to Hawaii. She doesn't want to go to Oregon. It's like, so I figured, well, I'll go to her, you know, and help out. Not
so
24
just whenever
hours.
Whenever the jabs come, don't make it mean anything about you. Don't let it ruin your day. It can, like, you can have your feelings about it. Like, you know, I wish she didn't feel that way or just whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I just want you for your own sanity to just remember, like, you know, this is hard on both of us. It's not just hard on one side. Because sometimes I think that's what ends up getting to us. And I've coached a lot of people through this. It's like, we get so hurt. Like, you know, like once you start taking care of her and stuff, you'll just like, I remember coaching someone not too long ago. It was like, they should just be more grateful. I'm like, I don't think they should be grateful at all.
She's grateful. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. You know, and now I just came to the thought that also when she says, oh, she's going to go out and have fun, I'm thinking like, maybe I should turn around and go, hey, do you want me to just stay home with you? You know, do you want to go do something? You know, maybe ask her to do that, you know, and maybe that's her way of saying, you know, why are you leaving? You know, even though my two brothers are sitting there and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know. Oh, I just to think about it another way. And I usually do that with other things in life. So I can start to do that with her. And my brother's thing that helped me out when I stayed there a month is that pick your battles. And that surely helped me out with everything. And we got along so much better that way.
I think you're going to do great. And I just want to say, I don't think you're losing your independence at all. I think you're helping, like you can, like, cause in the very beginning you said like this thought just popped up. Now I'm losing my independence. I don't think you are. I think you're making a very loving choice. I think this is a very independent choice. Only an independent woman would want to make this choice.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I appreciate this. Thank you.
Well, enjoy as much as you can.
Yes.
Santa Barbara is a nice, lovely area. She could be, like you said, living in a desert somewhere. Exactly. She'd be living in some hellhole small town in like West Tennessee that sucks. There's nothing to do. Which is where we say it. God love Union City, but that's where my husband's from. If we had to have moved back there to take care of somebody, I would have been just like, oh my God, all of you are going to have to coach me. Walmart's the fun place. So.
No, I have no complaints about where I'm going. And I'm actually looking forward to, I think almost too much, you know, but that's okay. You know, I now I need to put a plan out with her that both of us feel good about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's open to that. So.
All right. Well,
thank you.
You're welcome. Have a safe trip back to where Santa Barbara.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
All right, everyone. Somebody just said, my mother once said to me, when did you become the mother and I became the daughter? My mom said that to me once. This wasn't even that long ago. And I was like, birth. I was like, news alert, mammy. Let me alert the media for a second. I have been raising you since I came out your womb. It's the funniest moment we've had in a long time. All right, y'all. Have an amazing Thanksgiving if you celebrate Thanksgiving. If not, have a good day. Have a good Thursday. Otherwise, I will see. I see y'all this weekend. I think I do. Hang on. What is today? Weight loss coaching with who? No, it's MJ this week. Oh, yeah. This weekend, my mama's, I can't believe I forgot. I've just been talking about Mamie this whole time. My mother's in town. So this weekend, you've got MJ so that I can spend more time with my mom. And y'all just really take care of yourselves and eat intentionally. Enjoy the foods you want to enjoy. Please don't let an Uncle Bo Cephas make you eat. He is not worth it. Nobody is worth it. Just have the holiday you want, and that's going to take you managing your mind. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.